The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We have reached the final hour of our program. Radio listeners in Knoxville are having to adjust because one of the most legendary figures in sports radio history in that community has retired. A mainstay of the afternoon to get Vol news and sports news about the SEC, Jimmy Hyams, walked away recently. He was a longtime sports writer in Knoxville prior to that and has covered the Vols for almost 40 years. He's still too young for me to believe that he retired. But anyway, Jimmy Hyams joins us. Never could get Jimmy on because his show was on the same time as we are, but we're happy to say hello to Jimmy. First of all, congratulations, Jimmy. What an amazing career, and I know I echo the words of many, many fans in East Tennessee and around the SEC.
Well, Paul, I appreciate it. I've really enjoyed the run. You mentioned me covering Tennessee for almost 40 years, and I moved here in Knoxville in 1985, and, man, it's been a privilege to cover Tennessee, to live in Knoxville, and to kind of go out on my own terms. Not everybody in the media can say that. And one reason I did it, I just finished playing golf. And by golly, I'm going to play a lot of golf.
Well, so. you deserved it because people, Jimmy, not to get too deep in the weeds, think that, you know, being a talk show host and writing, and you continue to write a lot, is easy, but the seasons never end anymore. Not like it was in 50, 60 years ago when everything shut down. I'm sure a lot of things went into the decision, but talk a little bit about reaching a decision that so many people deal with every day, is, you know, including some of the coaches that we talk about, you know, when to move forward.
Well, I got started in the business at a very young age. Heck, I was a sports editor of my local newspaper in Louisiana when I was 16 years old. I actually started writing articles for them when I was 13. some reason they hired me. And so I've been doing this for over 50 years, and it spans seven decades, starting in the 1960s. And so I just felt like putting in those years, and I'm relatively healthy. I've had a couple of injuries along the way, but I love to play golf, love to play tennis, pickleball. I like to hike. I like to fish, and while I'm still healthy enough to do those things, I thought this is a good time to retire. Now, my financial advisor kept telling me, you have to reach a certain level before you can retire, and I finally told him I'll never reach that level, so I'm not listening to you anymore. So I retired.
That is great. Well, I don't want to be that guy that goes back in time, but I'm going to, because I've known you a long time, And you covered, you were in Louisiana first, and you covered the Vols at a time when a lot of young people will not understand this, but that people could not wait to grab a hold of that newspaper every day. Jimmy, what was it like back then? I mean, you worked with some legendary figures in that community, and that paper that you worked for, you had to read. This is pre-internet. This is pre-everything that we now know.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. When I was at the New Sentinel, we were able to cover practice. You don't believe this, but the coaches let you cover practice from the start to the end. You got to cover scrimmages. You got to watch a team. You got to know the players. You got to know the assistant coaches, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And so that was a lot of fun. But you're right about the newspaper. I remember the subscription at the New Sentinel. Our daily subscription was around 120,000. But on a football Sunday, it was over 220,000 because people wanted to read about the Vols, and not every game was on TV like they are now. So there were a number of games that you could get pay-per-view or you couldn't see it at all. And so there was a greater demand and a greater interest in the newspaper business, which you know because you were in it as well. And so, and then recovering recruiting. You know, when I was at the New Sentinel, I was a one-man band doing recruiting. And then when I went to radio, I was competing against five people at one organization. And I'm like, I can't do this. So I softened my stance on recruiting because I couldn't keep up with everything like five people could. But it was interesting that there was that much interest in the newspaper back when I started in 1985.
Jimmy, I mean, we're obviously dating ourselves going back in time, but there was a time, it seems like it was not that long ago, but it really was, where when I covered Alabama or Auburn, I mean, I walked through the building, I zipped into assistant coaches' offices where you got invaluable information. You could walk into the head coach's office. What happened, and why did that change? Because now you can't get near, I mean, it's like it's like they have gold back there. Maybe they do.
Well, I think some of their bank accounts have gold in it.
True.
I think part of what happened, and I'll say this too, and I'm sure you probably had this happen to you as well. I was close enough to some coaches who would actually tell me their offensive game plan. Then I would watch it unfold, and then I would write about it after the fact. I can just tell you that there was a Tennessee coach. When I first started covering Tennessee, Paul, there might have been three people covering it. Two newspapers and maybe a radio station would show up, maybe a TV station would show up. Next thing you know, there are 35 people at practice. So one of the coaches told me, I trust you, but I don't know these other 30-something people, and I don't trust them, so I'm going to close practice. Now, that's what the coach told me. Now, my counter to some of that was that Tennessee won a national championship in 1998, and all their practices were open. They haven't won one since. So I'm thinking maybe they should go back to opening practice.
No, I agree, and I think you really made a good point. And what you're talking about was the birth of the Internet, where everybody had their reporter. Yeah. I was asked at an event Monday night at a touchdown club that in Tennessee that, you know, what did I think journalism is dead? Do I think all these things that we used to hold dear? Where do you think it has gone? And really, Jimmy, do fans, the ones that buy these subscriptions, who pay attention to everything that is said, do they really know the difference or care the difference in the way it was once when you covered the Vols in the 80s?
I don't think they do care about the difference. I do think they care about getting reliable information. I do think every now and then they pay attention to who's breaking stories. Not all the time, but sometimes. But I do think there is a thirst for that knowledge, which I don't know that they'll ever go away. But now with the Internet, as you're talking about, you can get that information immediately. And you couldn't do it back in the day when we were working at newspapers. So that's changed the dynamics a lot. But I do think there's a thirst for accurate information. And I do think there are a lot of people that care about that. And one of the things I don't like about what goes on now is that a lot of people want to have hot takes just so they can get clicks. You know, I would rather get beat on a story and be right than be first out there and be wrong. And I think you've been the same way through your career. But that's not always the way it's done nowadays. And so at the radio station, we've had a lot of interns that have come through, and I've tried to impress upon them the importance of journalism, the importance of making sure that you can back up your statement. If you say so-and-so is going to win a championship or so-and-so did this or that, back it up. Give me the facts. What's your thinking? What's your reasoning? And we've actually been able to hire some people that were interns and some people we didn't want as interns, that were interns we didn't want to hire. But I tried to go through that with the folks that we work with through University of Tennessee that were students. And I've seen a number of those, and I'm happy about this. I've seen a number of those flourish in the radio business. They've done well for themselves.
Well, Jimmy Himes with us, longtime Knoxville reporter, writer, and talk show. I have a very good friend there in Knoxville, and whenever there was a big story, I mean, he would literally email me after you came on the air and say, this is what Jimmy just said, because he genuinely trusted what you were going to say because he knew that it had been well-sourced and it wasn't just some half-baked opinion. And I think that is where we are now, which brings me to some of the crazy stories that you've covered, way too many to deal with here today. But, I mean, I think of, you know, John Majors getting fired, all the baggage that Fulmer inherited from that alleged coup attempt, to Schiano having the job and losing it to every other fiasco that has occurred. I mean, you could not sell this as a book if we didn't know it was true. If you had just written all this out without the knowledge, I mean, what stands out over an amazing amount of time in real estate that you've covered?
Oh gosh, I remember having the story about Tennessee having a phone fraud. where they got a card from one of the female employees at the University of Tennessee, and they were making phone calls all over the place, long distance calls. Hey, one of them to an escort service in Europe. I don't know why in the world you would call an escort service in Europe, but they did. That was one of the crazy stories. One of the first stories I remember covering was about Tony Robinson and getting in trouble and driving a booster's car. That was in 1985, the same year Tennessee won the SEC and the Sugar Bowl. There was a ticket caper, which occurred about 2 years later, in which the players, at that time, you couldn't do this. I guess you still can't. They were selling their tickets to boosters to make money. So that was another one. There was an academic fraud case that occurred. It was almost every 2 years you could count on something at Tennessee going on that was of high news value. And this is kind of funny, too. You can appreciate this. So with the guys that I played golf with today, they brought up how one of them said, you know, I would like to be a coach at Tennessee because I know that if I get fired, I'm going to make a lot of money. And we were talking about how many fired coaches Tennessee had. And at one time, Paul, and you probably remember this, they were paying out more than $25 million to fired coaches and fired athletic directors. That's how ridiculous it got at one time at Tennessee.
Speaking of the present, and you left on quite a good note with Tennessee having its best season in almost a generation. Do you feel that everything is buttoned down and locked down, Jimmy, in terms of how good it was last year and the sustainability of what Josh Heupel is doing?
Yes, I do. I am very impressed with Josh Heupel. I'm impressed with his ability to relate to the players. I'm impressed with his offense. I know that there are a number of people that say, okay, defense is going to catch up to this offense. I don't know if they will, Paul. They might. Look, I know offense is caught up to the fun and gun or the fun and shoot, whatever. They caught up to the wishbone. But this is an offense that has so many reads in it that I don't know if a defense can catch up. And so I think that Heupel has done a magnificent job with this program, given what he inherited. Guys, you probably know this, but there were 45 players that Tennessee lost between the start of Pruitt's first year and the start of Heupel's first year, either to the transfer portal or to retirement or to letting players out of their national letter of intent. That's a lot of attrition. And yet he got to a bowl game the first year. He won 11 games the second year. The key on this is if he has a productive quarterback, they're going to be good. And he's got a great history of having quarterbacks that are productive. So I do think what he's doing is sustainable.
Well, it's just a fascinating series of events. And as you were regaling some of those, I just shook my head at a program that when I was up there and when you showed up was literally one of the most important football programs, not only in the SEC, but in the country, and what happened to it. And let's hope it's back. Jimmy, I just can't thank you enough. I hope we can stay in touch now that you have a little more freedom in the afternoon. But congratulations on truly an extraordinary career. And I know you've had a lot of praises and tributes, but you deserve all of them and many, many more.
Paul, very nice of you to say. It's an honor to be on your show. Thank you very much for having me. And your longevity has been pretty impressive, too. You've done this for a long time at a very high level. But I certainly appreciate you having me on the show. And anytime you'd like to have me on, I'd be glad to do it.
We would love it. Jimmy, be well. Jimmy Himes, who just retired after 38 years of covering the University of Tennessee. We'll take a short break. Back to your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Great conversation with Jimmy. We appreciate him being here. Let's get back to the calls here. We've had some pretty memorable moments already, and I have a feeling that is not done yet. Legend is next.
East Coast, baby.
Legend.
Black Hat Mafia in the house. How are you, my Black Hat brother? How are you today?
We're doing okay. Thank you, Legend.
Man, I had a dream last night, Paul. Had a dream I was in a cage match with Mike Griffin. Me and Mike Griffin at a cage match last night, Paul, in my dream. I couldn't get this Mr. Magoo-looking toupee-wearing idiot out of my head. He's even in my dreams. I took Mike Griffin's head and slammed it into the cage. Bam, 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 bam. When I pulled his bald head back, Paul, the toupee he was wearing was stuck in the cage. I drug him to the middle of the ring. The crowd was going crazy. And I woke up. I don't know what I was fixing to do to you, Mike Griffin. I don't know what I was fixing to do to you, you bald-headed toupee-wearing freak. I don't know what I was fixing to do to you, boy. But Jake Roberts, The Rock, and the Mongolian Stomper would have been proud, I promise you, brother, because it was going to be ugly. It was going to be ugly, boy. It was going to be ugly. You know, Paul, heard one of your icon callers call today and said there's a good vibe up in here today. There's a good vibe. Miss me with all that crap. We're going to get mucho caliente up in here. Mucho caliente. That's what we're going to get. Let me tell you something, Georgia fans. I'm tired of you talking. I'm tired of you running your mouth. You know there's an asterisk beside your championship. You didn't beat Bama last year. It don't matter. That's not even a championship. What do you call TCU? I don't even know what you call that. And by the way, Paul, North Dakota State just called. They got an open date. You might want to call Kirby. That's right. North Dakota State's got an open date, Joyce. You might want to jump on that. Give him a call right quick. Give him a call. That'd be a good game for y'all. Good game for y'all. Well, what is Kirby? 1-4 against Alabama, 1-3. I mean, come on, man. You win one game, suddenly you the GOAT. You ain't the GOAT, Georgia. You got problems. You got problems. Just keep watching. You got real problems coming up. And I hear LSU talking about Dwayne, talking about he the sheriff. Let me straighten something out with you, Dwayne. You ain't the sheriff. You body fight. You got one bullet in your pocket, dude. We don't even let you take it out. We got a lock and key on that pocket so you don't take it out, brother. You got one bullet. You got what, 2 wins since 2011 talking trash about Alabama? Let me break it down to you, SEC. I just wish you send us some gift baskets. Because without us, y'all football team have, the reputation, the money, and the prestige you have today. If it wasn't for the godfather of college football, the Alabama Crimson Tide. So stop running your mouth about what you are and just pay respect to the king the way you're supposed to, and maybe we get along a little better on this show. Maybe. Tennessee 1-15. Some of you talking trash. Throw the pecking order. It's Alabama, then it's the rest of you. It's the rest of you, baby. That's the way it is right there. Hey, Paul, you see where my coach's going to take Will Levis? They in love with Will Levis.
I heard that.
Yeah, ain't that pathetic? Chris Ballard ought to be running his ass out of town in Indy. That's what he ought to do right now. If they draft Will Levis, he's the dumbest GM ever in the National Football League, and he is. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, he is a dumbass and needs to be run out of Indy. Will Levis ain't nothing but another Mitch Trubisky. That's all the hell he is. Did he watch the Ole Miss game last year? I did. I lost money on it. He had the ball inside the 20, down 3, 2 times in the last minute, and fumbled 2 damn times. He ain't nothing but another Mitch Trubisky. Get it right, Chris Ballard, and get your ass out of town. Now let me tell you the rest of you SEC teams something before I leave. There's one king. It's Alabama. No matter how many championships occasionally you win, I am the standard, I am the program, I am the damn king. Get it right, it's the Alabama Crimson Tide. Woo! That's the truth, baby, and the rest of the story. I'm gone.
Legend has left the building. How about Rob up next in Louisiana? Hello, Rob.
Hey, Paul. Ooh, that's going to be a hard act to follow there. Love Legend, man. Love Legend. He speaks facts. Every time he opens his mouth, he speaks facts. I'm born and raised Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Love LSU. Bleed purple and gold. Every sport, women's and men's. And, you know, the thing I hate is people calling, bashing other people's teams, other people's coaches, other people's fans. We need to stop all that. We need to spread the love throughout the SEC. I'll root for Alabama every week they play that they're not playing playing in Baton Rouge or Tuscaloosa against my Tigers.
Well said, Rob. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's happening, Paul?
Hey, Bub.
Legend laying the smack down on old Griff today, ain't he?
Yes.
You know, old Legend's right about a lot. I have to agree with a lot of what Legend says. I got to studying on something. You know, all winter he's talked about that Alabama was the new Kentucky. He's right about that. They're just okay in football now and can't make a Final Four.
Ooh, that hurt.
So I think he's on to something. But anyway, Cat Daddy's the new king. Long live the king. Y'all have a good day.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Myth is up next. Hey, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't have any dreams last night, but I woke up and pissed 2 times, and, man, let me tell you, it felt great. Hey, getting to that greatest sports or the greatest athlete of school history or whatever, mine's going to be Kelly Coleman. You ever heard of him? King Kelly?
I have not.
King Kelly Coleman, never heard of him. He led the Kentucky high school boys scoring record for like almost 30 to 40 years, I think, something like that.
What happened after high school?
Well, he eventually went to the NBA.
Oh, okay.
He went to West Virginia and got I think he got in trouble with some kind of, I don't know. I think he got some kind of accepted some prizes or accepted some gifts.
Yeah,
or
well, that's probably why I missed him. Yeah, I mean, I honestly
but
don't
anyhow,
remember.
Well,
anyway, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. Hate to run, but we are short on time here. 30 minutes remaining. 855-242-7285 is our number, and we are back. Final 30 minutes of our show.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We've got a weeknight spring game. How about this? Florida, 7:30 tomorrow night. JB is in Augusta, and you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Qualify my credentials. I went to Georgia. I've been a 45-year fan. I've got a lot of skid marks on my back from the heartbreak of waiting those 40 years for the national championship, 40-plus. But I'm going to tell you, it feels good to be on top. And I think what Mike Griffin was saying, it's apples and oranges between the GOAT and the best right now. He's saying right now Kirby's the best. Not all time. He can't touch Saban's lifetime credentials. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing that I really love about this moment as a Georgia fan, I used to make excuses and say, wait till next year and talk about how I couldn't wait till we got these guys back and those guys back and look for every other qualification why my team was still pretty good. But the fact that we live rent-free in Legend's head makes me so happy. And also, let's also talk about this. Stetson Bennett, what is he, about the same height as Bryce Young? I know he's not an NFL quarterback, most likely, from what everybody's saying. But last time I checked, his elf on the shelf has three rings, and Bryce Young has one, if you want to count up the national championships and the SEC championships together. Thanks again for taking my call, and I will be calling again. My goal is to get on your big board next year for March Madness. Appreciate
it. JB, count on it. I like your first call. Andrew is in New York. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for letting me be on this show today.
Thank you, Andrew.
So I'm a big women's Columbia basketball fan. I'm actually getting season tickets next year to the Columbia Lions.
That's great.
And I'm very happy with Coach Megan Griffin, the first Ivy League school to ever go to the WNIT finals. Unfortunately, we lost to Kansas, but we should have won that game. And then we're losing 8 seniors this year on the team. So there's going to be a lot of new freshmen starting next year for Columbia. So it's going to be very interesting to see them play.
Andrew, what prompted you to become a Columbia women's basketball fan?
So my friend, actually he was on your show last week, I think, Paul Morris. He talked to a lot of different colleges and gets the free tickets to a lot of men's and women's college basketball games.
Does Columbia have a field house on campus, or where do you play?
It's a Levian Gym. Show is called It's on Campus.
Oh, okay. I've been on that campus. I spoke there a couple of years ago, and it was a fabulous and really very beautiful and historical campus. Thanks for sharing that very valuable information with us about the Columbia Lions women's team making it to the WNIT finals. Dale is up next in Colorado. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
So she legend, you know, I mean, Georgia don't make their own schedule. They play the teams that are put in front of them, and they beat them. So if Alabama would have beat the teams put in front of them last year, they would have made the playoff. Instead of having, you know, to see Nick Saban on TV crying like a little girl begging to get in the playoffs. I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. Go Dawgs.
Yeah, I guess it is. We had this kerfuffle earlier. Matt blasted Jim. Jim called in. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but Matt called back and he has something to say. So we'll grant him a couple of seconds. What do you got, Matt?
I'm not saying anything. You really think I'm afraid of you? Oh, wow. Jim, I'm 36 years old, moron. I get my age from my sister's times, but I'm not old fart like you are, Jim. You are so old. You're so decrepit. You're a liar. You couldn't even play sports at all because you probably sucked on your team. Jim, between me and you, I got the guts to do a phone feud with you. You couldn't even do that. You wanted to question Paul Allen's career options. Jim, you're a liar. You're pathetic.
Okay, I'm glad we could restore some civility here to the show. Let's check in with Glenn in Jacksonville. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a first-time caller. I'm just wanting to get a little information. I've been a little out of it lately about what coaching changes were for Alabama and Georgia. I'd appreciate it a lot.
Well, the big change at Georgia was obviously Mike Bobo taking over after the offensive coordinator left to go to the, I think it was the Ravens. Alabama replaced both the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator. Kevin Steele came in on the defensive side, and Tommy Reese came in on the offensive side. I don't know what to do here, guys. I'm going to grant him a response since he continues to attack unprovoked a legendary caller, Jim.
Well, he's just an idiot. He's just an imbecile. You're talking about, you know, I've used the term moron on this show a couple of times. That's the epitome of a moron, Paul. I mean, I talked to Iman about it. He said, he's just trying to be aggressive like the rest of the college. He's trying to be a big boy, but he just don't make it.
Jim, I thought he was calling to apologize. That's why I went to him. I thought the guy has to be smart enough to realize that everyone's against him on this subject.
He hasn't got sense enough to do that, Paul. I told you the truth. I mean this. I told you the truth earlier. He's 35 going on about 3 years old. He's just a dummy. He's a little worm, imbecile. Ain't got sense enough to get out of the rain. Really. That's all I got. But, I mean, he's so pathetic. And
okay, Jim, thank you for the call. We head to the break. You want to give us a ring? I'm not sure why you would. But, anyway, what a run. 855-242-7285. That is our number. We have a few minutes remaining. Your calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Final 10 minutes or so, and let's check in with Brad, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Brad.
Maybe Brett?
I'm sorry, Brett. Sure, whatever you want to be called.
That's okay, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, we've talked a few times, and basically, I'm a huge Georgia fan. Back in 2017, put $400 on Georgia win the Natty. Kind of came up short. 2021, put $1,000 on Georgia win the Natty. That came through. So I'm looking for 23 for a bet, and I'm taking Carson Beck to win the Heisman, which started out about 40-1. And the last time I looked, Brock Vandegrift is like 19-1, and Carson Beck is not even on the list. What do they know? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of them knowing, but I think it is an extreme long shot. And part of the reason is you have Caleb Williams, you have other players. But if Georgia is in contention to win, which we will know by the first weekend in December, then somebody on that team will be a Heisman candidate. Now, the quarterback is always in great shape. I just think the issue with Carson Beck, let's say he's a starter, hands down, it's where does he go during the season to impress anyone? There's only one game in the regular season that people are going to say, man, that really mattered. That's the Tennessee game. So I think that's the issue. That would be how I would look at it.
And that's my concern. You know, the schedule does concern me, but, you know, you consider 42 years without a Heisman Trophy winner, and you've got a team that's performing the way they are, there's got to be some sentiment towards a Georgia player. And that's kind of where my leaning is anyway.
Now if he comes out right out of the gate and is just putting up gargantuan numbers, then he's in contention. The Heisman is decided the final 2-3 weeks of the season. And I know we were all asked week one, well, who's in your Heisman? It doesn't matter. Hendon Hooker had the Heisman won at midseason, then he gets hurt. Bryce Young was a predominant favorite. So you just cannot pay much attention. But so here's a scenario I would give you, because the Tennessee game is in Knoxville. That's a big game, one of the bigger games of the year, if he goes crazy. And then let's say there's an SEC championship game against Alabama, and it's a shootout, and he puts up big numbers. That's the only ticket I see him winning the Heisman.
Which one, though? Vandegrift or Beck?
I would lean toward Beck today, but that's without knowing anything.
Yeah, me too. I you know, he's already played.
Brett, is there not a better bet you can find somewhere?
Well, Georgia is like 2.5-1 to win the Natty. So
that's not a good bet.
That's not a good bet at all. So I'm looking for others.
Okay, I'll talk to my Sharpie friends and see what I can do for you. Thank you for the call. Rob is in Louisiana. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Paul. Let me formally introduce myself. Long time viewer, long time listener, second time caller.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Love the show, man. Love the show. You're like the greatest ever, dude. For Jim, I got a message for Jim. Jim, spread the love. You'll feel the love, brother. And for Legend, I know you're watching, son. Accept my Facebook friends request. Later.
Who? Legend getting a hell. I mean, I'm not acting like I've never seen Facebook. I'm not. If somebody tries to friend you. Okay, so if this guy's trying to get Legend to approve him, Legend has to say yes, right? Legend, what is the problem, man? This guy wants to be your Facebook friend. Bernie is up next. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, Paul. This is it's Birdie.
Birdie.
Like in golf. And, yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Birdie, I played golf for a long time. I was not on speaking terms with that phrase.
Well, it's good to be on the show, Paul. I appreciate you having us.
Thank you.
Just want to see what your thoughts are on Georgia's next 5 to 7 year outlook. It seems like we're building something that's probably going to dominate Legend and the guys over in Alabama. And just want to get your thoughts on that. And just thank you for having us on the show.
Well, thank you. I'll try to give you a primer on that. So how do you build a dynasty? It's pretty easy to explain because we have seen very few dynasties. It takes a successful coach and it takes great recruiting. Georgia can answer that easily. The one, this is something you're going to hear a lot in the buildup to the season about this three-peat. It hasn't happened in modern history. And there have been a couple of chances, but the reason I bring this up is that Kirby Smart had a front row seat to the last time this nearly happened. Let me take you back exactly 10 years ago. Alabama won in 09. They did not win in 10. That was Auburn's year with Cam Newton. They won in 11, and they won in 12. And they weren't the favorite in 2013. They were the prohibitive favorite, overwhelming favorite. And as the season unfolded 10 years ago, exactly, it was not felt there was anybody out there that could beat Alabama. And during the regular season, they were, I'm trying to think if they were tested at all. Yeah, the biggest game of the year was Texas A&M. And it was they were down in that game. They came back and won. That was about the only really significant test. LSU wasn't a challenging game in Tuscaloosa. So it came down to the Iron Bowl, and they were not that big of a favorite. It was a pretty slight favorite because Auburn was a top five team, and we all know what happened with the kick six. That's the last time. I know that was a story many of you are familiar with, but that's what Georgia is facing. And of course, Kirby Smart was the defensive coordinator that year for Alabama. So he's well aware of what went wrong. What went wrong for Saban was he lost his team toward the end. There was disagreement on the team. There was an entitlement. And I think that's an advantage for Kirby Smart to have experienced that. We're out of time. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.